deserve worship right now. It has nothing to do with how I feel. It has, is he worthy?
Yes.
So I encourage you, even as you go through the rest of this week, remind yourself that what you know is so much more important than what you feel. Because your feelings will lie to your face.
Yep.
Over and over again. Anybody here ever woke up in like a great mood and then like one thing happened and your whole day just went to trash?
Yeah.
Come on, put the hand up. Just enjoy it. Just admit it. And then look around the room at all the other people that just failed miserably with you. Woke up in a great mood and one thing goes sideways and your moment and your mood and your emotions say, this day sucks. My wife has this little plaque in the kitchen. It says, today is a good day for a good day. And I think she sneakily put that in there for me.
By the coffee.
It is right by the coffee. Praise the Lord. She's like, okay, he'll see this every day. Today is a good day for a good day. My feelings will lie to me. My feelings will tell me all kinds of dumb things. That's why I have to walk in what I know. And that is why Christianity is so rooted in the reality of who Jesus is, my friends. Christianity needs, don't get me wrong, I preached last week, we literally got to have grace and truth, amen? We are soul and spirit, yes? We have to have emotion because that's how God designed us, yes? But God appeals to what you know about Him before He appeals to how you feel about Him. And I'm thankful that God appeals to Himself about what He knows about me versus how He might feel about me in a moment. Because He knows that I am redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. He knows that I am born in His image and then born again wearing Jesus Christ. Amen? This is a relationship of understanding, not feelings. You may be seated in the name of Jesus. Let's get into this. I got 30 minutes to smash through this in the name of the Lord. Whew, that's like 28. Sweet Lord. If you got Sunday school and you want to go to Sunday school, you are free to go to Sunday school. And then I messed up this morning. And I literally at 8 a.m. I was like, don't forget your preaching towel. Don't forget your preaching towel. And guess what I did? I forgot my preaching towel. I know, you can give me the thumbs down. I already feel bad. But my feelings say I messed up. My knowledge says I was trying my hardest. So, hallelujah. Because I know what I was trying to do this morning. But yes, I will have, Lord willing, my preaching towel here soon enough. Thank you guys for that. I will take that. Today, I got like 27 minutes. I'm on the clock. Today is going to be a little bit of teaching, and then probably we'll end a little bit more on the preachy side. But it's going to start with teaching this morning. You guys good with that? You guys willing to walk with me? We got 27 minutes. You just take a deep breath through your nose. Out your mouth and realize you forgot to brush your teeth. Whew, feel bad for who's next to you. We got 27 minutes to walk through the Word of God. And I want something from the Word of God this morning. Amen. So I'm going to do my best to get us where we need to go in a very short amount of time. Service started a little bit late. It was weird. I don't know, whatever. This is crazy. I think that's why I'm liking Tuesdays more and more, because I have more time to preach on a Tuesday than I have on a Sunday lately. Hallelujah. So anybody here but me ever done any baking? Raise your hand if you've ever done any baking. Some of you, I feel like you're not being honest. Raise your hand if when you're baking, you used what's called a recipe. Okay? Raise your hand if after you had made the thing a few times, you're like, you know what? I can start doing this a little bit different. Oh my gosh, dude. Did you guys know that anyone here raised with Kool-Aid? Like the packs of Kool-Aid that weren't sweetened. Not these spoiled kids nowadays where everything comes like pre-packaged and all you gotta do is a little pop it. Like when we wanted Kool-Aid, you had to go get a packet of like 5 billion ounces of food coloring and some flavoring. But what was missing from the singular packet that you got for like a dime? Sugar. Does anyone here know how many cups of sugar are supposed to go with Kool-Aid according to the pack? Raise your hand if you think the answer, according to the pack, is 1 cup of sugar. That is the answer. If you grew up in North Salinas doing a lot of things that you weren't supposed to be doing at a very young age, you had what was called the munchies. And if you grew up in the age that I grew up in, your parents were at work and you were home alone. Can I get it? Not an amen, like, or just because we don't, the amen means let it be so. Like, we don't want any more of that, but can I just at least get a polite head nod if you know what I'm saying? And I would make the Kool-Aid, and I was known as a little bit on the thicker side. I enjoyed sweets and foods and treats. So since I made the Kool-Aid and since I was high, okay, I said it, my Kool-Aid didn't come with anything less than 3 cups of sugar. It was diabetes in a pitcher. And I would brag on it. I would brag about my Kool-Aid. Oh, you think your Kool-Aid's good, bro? That's when you know you're poor. Like, you're literally, like, you're trying to hype up your Kool-Aid. Oh, you think you got it on lock, bro? Try my Kool-Aid with the El Monterey chimichangas out of the freezer. Raise your hand if you at least know what I'm talking about. Fudge! And as you start experimenting, you're like, I'll put ranch dressing with a chimichanga. And I'll have my cup of Kool-Aid with 3 cups of sugar. And I will tell everybody, not only do you need to come to my house to, but you need to come to my house to try the chimichangas with ranch dressing and my Kool-Aid that's got a secret recipe. And all the secret was 3 to 4 times the amount of sugar. And everybody loved the Kool-Aid. I think they became addicted to the Kool-Aid. Or we were just too high to realize what we were doing. But I made it my own. And I've done that with so many other recipes, because back in the day when I'd get high, I liked to bake. I was just a weirdo. And I was like 14 years old, just in the kitchen, just like going at it. And my favorite thing to make was literally like coffee cake with streusel, where you extra brown sugar and extra sugar across it. And I would sit there and get all, and I would start making coffee cakes. And I had the recipe memorized. And then I said, screw this recipe. I'm going to make my coffee cake. This is Joe's coffee cake. And I started adding my own stuff. And sometimes it was trash and sometimes it was good. But every time it was mine. It was supposed to be coffee cake. But I wanted so much of my fingerprints on the recipe that a lot of times it ceased being coffee cake and just became some sugary substance. You're like, why are you talking in a circle this morning, Pastor? Because I feel like that natural, and not feel, I know. We're going to get into it right now with some verses. I know that that's the human condition. Everybody wants to put their little twist on everything. I mean, that is why people nowadays wear a hat with a sticker still on it. I grew up when you got a hat and you got something new, you took all the tags off of it. Yes or no? Nowadays, people want to pretend that their hat's brand new, but you can see the old color peeking out from behind the sticker because the hat's 8 years old and they still have the sticker. The sticker has been re-glued on 7 times. People like to put their own little flair on things, how they personally interpret it and how they personally want to express it and what it means to them and how it feels to them. And then they want to always share. It's human nature. We always want to share and show this little bit of flair that we put on the thing. Yes or no? If you think I'm lying, wait till Thanksgiving. There's going to be either that one aunt or that one uncle that comes in there with some weird food and be like, well, did you see what I added? And they want everybody to try it. And you're like, it looks horrible. Well, I'm telling you. No, it's just human nature. It's human nature. I remember going to one person's house one time and they literally had almond chicken. No. Walnut chicken. It was like chunks of walnut, and it looked like they just rolled drumsticks in walnuts and then threw it on a baking sheet and threw it in the oven for an hour and a half. I don't know. Guess how many pieces of walnut chicken I had? Zero. I don't like walnuts, first and foremost. And if you're going to have walnut, you need to get a hammer out and beat those walnuts into like a fine powder. I don't need to see like the full walnut on the side of the chicken. And they thought it was like a specialty. Like, do you see what I made tonight? Walnut. I bet they just literally looked in their cupboard and they're like, what do I have today? Poor people problems. Praise God. And it's okay when we do this with things that don't matter per se. Probably wasn't good that I was making my Kool-Aid with 3 to 4 cups of sugar. Well, I know it wasn't good. But in the long, I mean, now if I would have kept that up there my whole life, it would have damaged me, yes or no. And now I drink tea, like normal tea. It's funny that they call it unsweetened, but tea is naturally unsweet. Can I get an amen? It's so weird that we're so addicted to sugar, we have to warn people, hey, this one's not been sweetened. We change the name of things to let them know that God didn't put sugar in tea. But a lot of these things aren't going to have like an eternal impact on us. They might have some health complications, and that's not good. But the one thing that we can never and should never put our own twist on is Jesus. I should never try to share a Jesus with somebody that isn't the real Jesus. And I don't have time to go through all this morning because I literally have like no time. It's crazy. But even in the first century of the church, in the epistles, Paul and the other apostles were having to write to people and letting them know that there's going to be people that are going to come in and they're going to try to share a different gospel and a different Jesus and a different thing. And each one of those things was somebody hearing an aspect of Jesus Christ, having a piece of Jesus, and said, well, let me add my flair to this Jesus that you're talking about. The problem is when we start adding to who Jesus is, he ceases being Jesus. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? So the moment I add Joe's flair to Jesus, is it still the way, the truth, and the life? Or has it been compromised? Use your brain. You can do it. I promise it'll only hurt for a second. Just think through it. If I change Jesus, can Jesus still do what Jesus does? Why am I talking about this? Because so many people that name the name of Jesus Christ, it's like we don't serve the same Jesus. And I'm not saying I got it all dialed in. Don't worry, I got verses. I promise I got verses, but I had a long commercial to get to the verses. But it's like we don't serve the same Jesus. The things that I know from straight scripture that Jesus wants for my life, you'll have people that say that there are pastors and they will preach things that literally stand in contradiction to who Jesus is. Yes or no? And everybody who names that person their pastor now has a perverted Jesus in their mind. And I don't mean perverted in a weird way. I mean literally, it is no longer Jesus. It is now that pastor's twist or that pastor's flair. That pastor took, instead of putting 1 cup of sugar, he has now put 3 cups of sugar. Instead of saying 1 cup of grace, he's now taking grace and is now using grace as an excuse for everybody just to live how they want to live. He died for my sins and our sins, yes or no? But he died to save us from our sins, yes or no? So then that means we should do our best to try to stop what? You go to most churches nowadays, and the way Jesus preached, you can just keep doing whatever the heck you want as long as you want, for whatever you want, because Jesus loves you as you are. Yes, Jesus loves you as you are, but he loves you so much that he refuses to leave you the way he finds you. He found Peter as a fisherman, and he turned him into a fisher of men, yes or no? Matthew was a tax collector, and he was no longer a tax collector. He was a fax collector, and he literally wrote a gospel for Jesus. Yes or no? First time I've ever heard that, a fax collector. That was pretty rad, right, bro? Right, associate? Praise God. We need to follow the prescription that Jesus says of himself and not portray a fake Jesus to ourselves and to the world around us, because the cardboard cut out fake Jesus ain't gonna be the Jesus that has the power to save. Yes or no? You're like, wow, this is heavy. No, it's not. Read the New Testament. Do you realize that what I'm saying is in the vast majority of the New Testament epistles? Because if we lose the identity of Jesus Christ, how can we say we are Christians? Are there Christians without Christ? And if we no longer follow the real Christ, can we say we're Christians? And roll with me for just a brief second. This sermon is for everybody, but this sermon is specifically hitting those that literally call themselves Christians. The world's going to do what the world's going to do because they are not Christians. They can make up whatever Jesus they want in their mind, and they're not following the paradigm because they're not following Jesus. But if you say you're following Christ, it'll probably be important that you're what? What was that, Michael? Why just you literally moved your mouth bigger, but you spoke even quieter. That was crazy. Like his mouth got, oh, I'm Christ. But he didn't say it any louder. If you're saying you're following Christ, it'd probably be good that you're following Jesus. I have a question for you. Gosh, I'm running out of time so fast. Where do you find the real, I'm being this sincere. Where do you find the real Jesus? Where can you find the real Jesus? This is scary. Holy moly. Maybe I gotta go back 5 lessons. Where do you find the real Jesus? Raise your hand if you think you find the real Jesus in Scripture. This is what's scary. So many people have associated Jesus with how they feel about a thing, not what they know about Jesus. And that's why so many Christians fail in their walk, because their faith is based upon how they feel about Jesus, not what they know about Jesus. And what you feel changes. What I know about the concrete facts of who Jesus is does not change. He is God become man. Yes or no? He is the divine mixed with the humanity and become one of us. Yes or no? He lived a perfect life. Yes or no? Come on, church, get with me. How many sins did he commit? Whose sins did he die for? Does that change about how, your feelings on the matter, does it change that? That's the crazy thing about Jesus. Jesus died for people who literally don't even feel a good thing about him. He died for the sins of the person who never even wants to hear anything from him and love them in spite of the fact that they didn't want none of him. I know that. I don't feel that because my feelings would tell me something else. But my knowledge of who Jesus is tells me something else. It tells me that Jesus died for every single person, regardless if they wanted him to or not. And it says that he died a real death, yes or no? Scripture says he was marred more than any man, which means in the context that in the prophecy in the book of Isaiah, it means that literally if Jesus' mother was looking at Jesus on the cross, people don't realize this. It means that he was beat so bad that his own mother couldn't even identify his face while he was on that cross. And as a father, I feel like I could identify my kid no matter what. Anyone know what I'm talking about? But Scripture says he was beat so bad, he was marred more than anybody. Like, he was unrecognizable to even his own disciples. They knew it was Jesus because they had followed him the whole time and watched the transition. They watched him being accused by the chief priests. They watched him be spit on and smacked. They watched him be taken down to Herod. They watched him go to Pilate. They followed him the whole way, and that's how they knew it was Jesus. Not because it looked like Jesus. I know that. I don't feel that. Can I get an amen? We need to get back to knowing who Jesus is and following the real Jesus. The real Jesus died for sins and literally went into a tomb. Yes or no? Come on, church. Yes or no? I have a question. Does that reality change based upon how you feel about it? What's that tell me? My day could be horrible. But Jesus still rose. I was listening to a minister recently, and he's an apologetic instructor and actually a doctor of philosophy and so forth. And his wife was dying of cancer. And he said he was stuck in that moment where he went out on his porch. And the thought came to his mind of, I could ask why is this happening? And then he said, a greater thought came in immediately after. If I know Jesus rose from the grave, it doesn't matter why this is happening, because my hope is in the resurrection. And even if cancer takes takes my wife now, I know she'll be a part of the resurrection. His feelings didn't tell him that. What he knew about Jesus is what kept him in whole through this horrible situation. But the problem is Christianity has been watered down to the point where there's no more scripture in Christianity. There's no more Jesus in the church. It's about how do you feel and what does this do for you and what does that do for that? No, that ain't the church. The church is based upon who Jesus is, yes or no. I could have the worst day of my life and I can still walk through those doors triumphantly. Why? Because Jesus rose. I could have the worst, I could be dying of a disease and still walk triumphantly through those doors because Jesus rose, and that doesn't change based upon how I feel. Come on, church. No one here wants to suffer. But anyone here realize the older you get, goodness gracious, life just is tough sometimes? I am becoming so more appreciative of what I know than what I feel, because what I know about Jesus is the thing that is keeping me from wanting to quit and throw in the towel and lose my marbles and go off the left field. Because Jesus doesn't change. Oh my goodness. Is this making sense to anybody? You're like, if it's your first time here, praise God. Hopefully you'll come back when I'm not pressed for time. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Very familiar passage of scripture, and I have 10 minutes. Look at your neighbor and say, he's got 10 minutes. Stop talking, I only have 10 minutes. Goodness gracious. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do men say that the Son of Man is? Or who do they say that the Son of Man... Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Whew! Started quoting instead of reading. See, gotta read. It's fundamental. So Jesus goes up to who? Who's the context? Who's he asking this question to? His disciples. These are people that did what? Followed Jesus. For 3 years, these guys are at Jesus' hip. Except when Jesus went to go pray, off to the side, or little side quests in that for very brief moments. Otherwise, they slept in the same place that Jesus slept. They ate in the same place. They walked the same. They were together. Amen? And he doesn't ask them, what do you guys think yet? He goes to them and acknowledges the reality. He says, who do they say I am? Because they have always had an opinion of who Jesus is whilst not having a relationship with him. Do you realize that almost every major... Oh, my goodness. I'm running out of time. Do you realize almost every major religion in the entire world accepts Jesus as a prophet and a healer? Do you realize Buddhists will allow, there's whole sects of Buddhists that will allow you to pray for them in the name of Jesus because they believe he's a prophet and a healer in some capacity. Do you realize there's whole swaths of Muslims that will allow you to pray for them in the name of Jesus Christ because they believe he's a prophet and a healer? Who do they say that I am? Even people that don't know Jesus have an opinion of Jesus, and they usually gravitate to the facets of Jesus that fits their need. They usually gravitate and grab the aspects of Jesus that they can put in their pocket and use at their convenience. Anyone here know what a Swiss Army knife is? Anyone ever get one of those fancy ones that had the little toothpick to it? That's when you know you were balling if your dad walked up to you or an uncle and said, here. Because I was raised in the 80s and I watched a show called MacGyver, and if I had a Swiss Army knife and duct tape, I could do anything. Duct tape, Swiss Army knife, I can make a bomb. I can build a house. Do you want a tunnel? Let's do it. It's all in this knife. And and if you had the real big one, a lot of times there was even one that had like a fork and a knife and it would break apart. And now you can eat your meal. And that's what people do with Jesus. They take the little parts of Jesus that they like and fits their need at the moment, and that's the thing that they identify about Jesus, and that's what they put in their pocket and they care with him, and they're like, well, I'll pull Jesus out when this situation arises. They treat Jesus like he is a defunct, separable Swiss Army knife. When in fact, the Swiss Army knife ain't a Swiss Army knife if the whole thing ain't together. You got a spoon, bro. I got one of those too. That ain't a Swiss Army knife. It even came with a little saw. It had everything. If you take the parts, it stops being what it is because you're only taking one facet. What made a Swiss Army knife rad is that it had everything but a gun on it. Yes or no? It's crazy. Google it later or DuckDuckGo it. I don't use Google. DuckDuckGo it. What came on a Swiss Army knife? Everything. And Jesus is like, who do they say that I am? What's their opinion as people that aren't close to me but have heard of me? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah. The people around that they quoted right now were only picking up on very small facets of who Jesus is. What's the one thing that all, not the only thing, but one of the things that all three of these people had in common? All three of them were prophets, yes or no? Right? All three of them had conflict with the Jewish authority of their time, yes or no? Elijah literally was calling down fire, having breakdance battles before the Lord. Everything was getting wild. I mean, Elijah was having issues with Ahab, yes or no? Jeremiah, the poor guy, literally had to prophesy as Judah is about to be swallowed by Babylon. And John the Baptist, he was the fresh one that had just bucked against the Jewish traditions and said, repent, for the kingdom of God is... And literally, the ground was still fresh with his blood, as it were, because they beheaded the poor man because he spoke against the authority, yes or no? What am I saying here? Those that didn't have a relationship with Jesus only got one or two facets of who Jesus is. And in their culture, in their day and age, the two things that the people picked up on the most was, he's a prophet, and he's having conflict with the Jewish authority. If we took this to modern time and we said, who do you say that Jesus is? Well, he loves everybody. And he says, come as you are. Would you guys agree with those two things, that that's pretty much what all Christendom would say, yes or no? He loves everybody and come as you are, yes or no? I have a question. Does that encompass the full relationship and ministry of Jesus Christ? No, because he didn't come just to be a prophet. He came to be Lord. Yes or no? He didn't come just to be your friend. He came to be your Savior. Yes or no? I have a question for you real quick, and as my time runs out so fast. If you were drowning and you saw someone running up that looks like David Hasselhoff, I dated some of you right now. You guys got a Baywatch reference. Stop watching that. If you were drowning in the ocean and you saw somebody run out there and they had a buoy in their arm and you're getting ripped. Anyone ever been ripped? Like beat up by the ocean? Dude, I was baptizing someone not too long ago and they wanted to do it at Marina Beach and it was a death sentence for me. Like they were supposed to die to their sin and I almost died. As I was taking them down, a wave crashed and I had to save them. I threw them up so they wouldn't be caught up, and I literally was just in the water, and I now know what it feels like to be in a washing machine. I was just being tumbled and twisted, and I opened my eyes, and I'm like, that's water. Just hold your breath a little bit longer. Got to stay calm. Don't panic. Don't freak out. And if someone would have jumped in the water and said, I love you, I love you, come as you are, and left me in the dishwasher, are they a good Savior? Jesus did not come to be your friend alone. He came to be your redeeming Lord and Savior. And that means he's got to pull you out of what you're in so he can complete the process of his job. Can I get an amen, church? American Christianity has reduced Jesus Christ down to a snuggie. Well, I just wrap him around me and I feel all warm and I stay in my couch and I don't do anything. We've reduced Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to this thing we pull out when we're having a bad day, but we haven't followed him or known him for a very long time. But I claim the name of Jesus over this. No, bro. You need to be following Jesus. Can I get an amen? Oh, man, I'm running. I'm already out of time. Extra innings. No, I'm just kidding. You're a whisperer today. You're over here whispering, bro. He's whispering. Tina, talk to your son. He's whispering at me. It's distracting me. So they gave their answers of what the people thought of Jesus. Yes or no? Was Jesus satisfied with their answers? You know how I know the answer is no? Because then he investigated further and he says, but he said to them, but who do you say that I am? He's like, the world's always going to have an opinion of who I am and what I can do, but you guys who've been with me, who are supposed to know me, what do you say about me? Am I just a prophet who's here for conflict with the Jewish authority? Am I just a snuggie? Am I a lifeguard that doesn't know how to swim? Am I a lifeguard that smirks when you're drowning in the deep parts of life? Am I a counselor that has no advice? Am I just here to be a blanket? Who do you say that I am? Boom, 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 boom. And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Is that a little bit different than Elijah, John the Baptist, and Jeremiah? They're not the same at all, are they? Jesus was a prophet, but he didn't stop at being a prophet. Elijah did. Jeremiah did, and John the Baptist did, yes or no? Being a prophet, being able to speak truth in the power and the authority of God was only one facet of Jesus' identity, yes or no? Because all of their ministries ended, yes or no? Jeremiah's time came and went, yes? John the Baptist's head came and... Oh, time came and went. See, I've seen who was with me. And Elijah's time came and went, yes or no? Peter didn't say you're a prophet. He said you are literally the Christ. In the Hebrew... This is the Greek in the Hebrew. You are the Messiah. You are who we've been waiting for since the days of old. You are the fulfillment of everything we have ever heard and so much more. And you are the Son of the living God. In their context, you're not just something else. You're the God of old standing in front of me as a human being. Different answer, yes or no? Where's the church at today? Are we still allowing the world to influence our perspective of Jesus? Are we, the church, taking Jesus to the world so they can see who the real Jesus is? And he can save, and he can heal, and he can mend, and he can love. But he will always bring you out of what he finds you in, yes or no? So how do we do this? Two things, and I'm done. I'm going to do this fast. Anyone ever watch Ace Ventura? Remember when he's talking to the captain and he takes that big old deep breath and he's like, whoa, whoa. That's what I feel like right now. Yeah, see, we got a real church. Just normal people, praise God. Because Jesus loves normal people, yes? But he turns normal people into extraordinary people because once you are light and salt, you have the power of the gospel in your life and it can transform the world, amen? Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. First thing, now you can stop right there, you're good, sis, don't worry about it. First thing, when's the last time you actually asked God to reveal more of Christ to you? And what do I mean by that? When's the last time you wanted more of Jesus to the point that you actually prayed? Like with the heart of Moses when he was on that mountain and said, God, please show me your glory, I just want more. Or are you comfortable with the snuggy version of Jesus that you have? I want the real Jesus, and that's going to take God revealing some things to me and showing me the truth of his character and the truth of his word, and it might get uncomfortable because I might have to... What we forgot here is Jesus isn't the recipe that we're modifying. We're the recipe that's supposed to be being modified to have a little less of us and a little bit more of Jesus. I don't need 3 cups of sugar. I need 4 cups of grace. I need about 12 cups of discipline. I need about 15 cups of temperance and patience. I need to be modified, not him. I don't need to fit. Excuse me, he doesn't need to fit into my life. I need to fit my life into Jesus. And if it doesn't fit in Jesus, then it shouldn't be a part of my... You're the associate of the associate this morning. Last week it was your wife, today it's you. Abel, you got an associate. He's assistant to the regional associate. Praise the Lord. When's the last time you said, God, show me more of who you are? I'm tired of being tossed left and right in this world and getting so caught up. Please reveal more of yourself to me, because I see people when they knew Jesus, it didn't matter how far they fell, they always made their way home. Peter denied, this Peter denied even knowing Jesus, yes or no? But he couldn't deny him for long. He had to come home, yes or no? But then you have Judas, didn't know Jesus, committed a similar sin as Peter, yes or no? Similar, yes or no? But Judas goes and hangs himself because he didn't understand who Jesus was. He only understood one facet of Jesus. He thought Jesus was a rebellion leader. He thought Jesus was here to create a rebellion. He didn't understand the grace and mercy that Jesus brought to the table. So when he failed, all he knew was judgment. My friends, we need the real Jesus in our life, not the one that we concoct, but the one that God reveals to us through His Word and through His Spirit. Amen? Lastly, and Michelle, if you want to come, because I got to go. First is asking God. Second is you have to spend time with Christ. Anyone here married? Have you found things out about your spouse that you didn't know while you were dating? Yes or no? Yeah, hopefully the answer is yes. If the answer is no, either you just got married or you guys are both really great liars. Because when you first start dating someone, that's not even the person you're dating. They're extra kind. They're extra kind. I mean, like, dude. The stuff that we do to try to like land the fish is unbelievable. It's crazy. We'll walk taller. We'll open every door. We'll use ma'am and sir or whatever. I mean, goodness gracious. You'll buy little snacks. You'll be thoughtful. Post on Instagram. Beep. Like all the moment I do, you're like, bruh. It's like that girdle just gets ripped off and just all of you just goes blah, 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 all over the place. Words, speech, and everything else. Yes or no? So many people try to have such a superficial relationship with Jesus that they don't really spend time with Him. Mm-hmm. The difference is, Jesus is never the one fronting on who He is. We're the ones that approach the relationship with our own ulterior motives of what can I get out of this, because that's what we have turned relationships to. We no longer view relationships as a blessing in and of themselves. It's like, hey, Mike owns the bagel corner, I can get free bagels. Versus, Mike owns a business, I could go bless his business. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, we're approaching Jesus with, hey, Jesus, what do you have on for free this morning? As opposed to, hey, Jesus, I'm unworthy to know you. But can we please spend some time together? Because I want to know you. Real Christianity. When the person desires to know Him for who He is and not just what you get out of the relationship. So I pray for you this week and I encourage you this week to ask God for divine understanding in His Word and His Spirit about who Jesus is, and spend some time with Jesus so you can actually become accustomed. Because there's going to come a day where He says, my sheep will know my voice. How are you going to know His voice if you don't spend any time with Him? Mm-hmm. I encourage you to get real Jesus and not just modern examples of Him. Let's pray. Father, I love you and I thank you for your goodness and I thank you for your mercy, and I pray that you'd move across every mind and every heart that's in this building. I pray that the gospel, Father, would be transformed in us. That it would not just be some cute little story, Father, but that it would save me. You dove into the deep beyond where I could go, and you died for me to save me, not leave me where I'm at. So I pray that every single person in this place today would allow you to be Jesus. We don't want anything else. I don't need any additives. I don't need any substitutes. I don't need to do anything. God, I just want you, the redeeming, saving God-man. I need the one who conquered death, hell, and the grave. I need the one that knows my going out and my coming in, my back and my forward, and knows me and loves me still, that while I was yet a sinner, you died. I need that Jesus that also says, as many as I love, I correct. I pray, God, for all of you, for the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form on us, Lord. We pray, give us Jesus this morning and let us draw closer to who you are, Father. We love you and we thank you in the name of Jesus. And everybody says, as my wife plays this song, just take a moment if you can and engage your mind and your heart together and just pray the simplest of prayers. Jesus says, ask and you shall. Ask and you shall. When's the last time you just asked? God, show me more of you. I want to know the power of the gospel more. That seems pretty easy today, yeah? Pretty easy homework assignment, just asking God for more. Some of you, you're terrified. Because you're like, dang, the real Jesus is going to show up. And I've had the little fake one. I've had the action figure. I've had the action figure where I can manipulate the arms. And I can move the kung fu action grip legs and everything. Mm-hmm. And then you're asking for the real Jesus. That's a different story, amen? But I promise you, the real Jesus is the one who saves, yes? Father, move in our hearts and our lives in the name of Jesus. Take a moment, church. You got this in the name of Jesus.
May I be like Mary, open to the movements of your heart, blessed in the keeping of your promise, a faithful friend of God. And may I love your presence more than any gift you've given me, more than any crown I could receive, more than all my dreams. If I could have anything, let it be your eyes on me. Every time I catch your gaze, my world starts changing. I don't have that much to bring, just a simple song to sing. If I could have anything, let me be an offering. May I be like David, unconvinced by power or by idols, worshiping in triumph and in trial, a faithful friend of God. And may I love your spirit more than reputation or prestige, and more than what the world could think of me, 'cause your love is all I need. If I could have anything, let it be your eyes on me. Every time I catch your gaze, my world starts changing. I don't have that much to bring, just a simple song to sing. If I could have anything, let me be an offering. If I could have anything, let it be your eyes on me. Every time I catch your gaze, my world starts changing. I don't have that much to bring, just a simple song to sing. If I could have anything, let me be an offering. And I come alive loving you, and I'm overwhelmed by the way you move. My words fall short when I look at you. Oh, yes, I come alive loving you, and I'm overwhelmed by the way you move. My words fall short when I look at you. Oh, yes, I come the way you move. My words fall short when I look at you. Oh, if I could have anything, let it be your eyes on me. Every time I catch your gaze, my world starts changing. I don't have that much to bring, just a simple song to sing. If I could have anything, let me be an offering. Let me be an offering. Let me be an offering.
God, we thank you for your grace, your mercy. That is new every morning, Lord. I pray for everyone here, Lord, that we will continue to strive to know you for who you are, God, despite our feelings, despite what may be brought up in our lives, Lord, on a daily basis. I pray that we will stick to what we know to be true, and that is you, Lord Jesus. I pray for everyone here that they have a blessed week, and everyone go in Jesus' name. Amen.